But I have a great message today that God has just presented. And when you think about the Guardians of the Galaxy, it's one of my favorite movies. My kids love it. I love it. If you're a superhero or a hero in nature, you love the feeling of being a hero, don't you? And these five individuals that are considered to be the Guardians of the Galaxy, they are misfit characters, aren't they? They have come from different backgrounds. They come from different families, broken homes. They're really by themselves nothing special, but when they get united, they are something amazing to watch. And so when I'm reminded of those five individuals, it reminds me of the church. Each of you come from different backgrounds, different ethnicities. You come from maybe a misfit family, and we're misfits ourselves because of sin. Sin has caused us to be misfits. We have fallen from God's grace, but thanks to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we have the opportunity to have a relationship with Him. And when we are able to put together our gifts and use them for God's glory, God can do miraculous things. And so today, what I want to talk to you about is teamwork. Just as the Guardians of the Galaxy, those guys work together as a team, imagine what we at Edge Church can do as a team when the body of believers figure out what their gifts and strengths are and put and mold them together as a team and a church. And imagine the opportunity that God can use you to change our community. And so that's my challenge today. So let's look at our first point today, is that no leader can thrive without teammates. How many of you have played sports before? Maybe you've even been in a band or anything like that. It requires a group of people. And so the definition of teamwork is this: the combined action of a group of people, especially when they are effective and efficient. No team is really effective or efficient if they don't work together as a team. And when I think about a team, I love to go to sports analogies. I love football. How many of you are football fans? Of course, in Denver, hopefully you're a big football fan, right? But when you think about the Denver Broncos, you think about football. A lot of times, the offensive linemen don't get a lot of credit, do they? But they are a significant part of the team. How many of you could actually name a Denver Bronco lineman? A few. But how many of you could name like a quarterback or a wide receiver? See, more hands go up then, right? Because they are the ones that get all the notoriety sometimes, right? They're the ones that get all the credit. But it's those linemen that are down there in the trenches that are doing a lot of the work that never get the credit for what happens with the team. They're the ones that are grinding it out to open up those massive holes so that the running back can run through that line. Or they're over there so the wide receiver can catch the pass. The quarterback has time to get it to the receiver, right? Well, many of us in our church and the teammates that we have here at Edge Church, there are many people right now behind the scenes that are doing things right now, teaching kids, changing diapers. There's people that even during the week come and clean and prepare this church so that you can come and be able to hear God's word. They're in the trenches. They don't get credit for what they do a lot of times, but because of what they're doing, it's a step in allowing folks like you to hear the gospel, so that they can hear the message of Jesus Christ. And it takes every single one of us to be able to do that. And so I want to share an example of this in the Bible of someone who is a great leader, but he also needed teammates to come alongside him to be able to do something great. And one of the great leaders is Moses. And Moses was a great leader, but he also needed teammates to help him. So if you have your Bibles, what I'd love for you to do is to open up. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 17. And this is in the Old Testament. Exodus is the second book of the Old Testament. I love reading about Moses. Moses is a fantastic leader. This is Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 13. It says this: "Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword." Now, Moses is a great leader, but his arms, after a while, became tired. And so Moses is standing there with the staff, the same staff that he used as the people crossed the Red Sea. It's also the same staff that he used to hit the rock that allowed them to have the water that they needed. But he still has this staff. And so it says in the Bible that after a while, he gets tired of holding that. So could you imagine a battle going on? And the guys, God says, hey, you're going to raise your staff. And as long as it's up, the Israelites are going to win. That's great. But after a while, he's going to get pretty tired, isn't he? He's going to need some help along the side. And so then Aaron and Hur are with him, and they notice that he's becoming tired. And so what they do, they get a stone for him to rest. But this way, he's able to keep it up because they notice the difference. When he got tired, what happened? It says, the Bible says, Amalek and them started to defeat the Israelites. And so they started to see this pattern. So they said, we've got to jump in there. We've got to come and help Moses so we can do all the things that God wants to do. And so we see teammates coming alongside the leader in an incredible way. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to become a teammate of Edge Church, to come along the leadership of the church so that you can be and see what God wants to do. Had her and Aaron just stood beside Moses and expected him to do everything, what do you think would have happened? The Israelites probably would have been defeated. But they noticed that their leader needed assistance, and they came alongside him to serve a huge purpose. And that's where you as a church can come in. When you're able to be a part of a team, you are able to use and help the leader in an incredible way, just as Aaron and Hur were able to do that for Moses. So I want to challenge you to say that, you know, no leader can do it by themselves. They need someone so that they can thrive. They can't thrive without teammates. A team is also united, will do whatever it takes to get the job done. Did Aaron and Hur unite together to make sure that the Israelites did everything they could to win, to help Moses out? They did, and it was a miraculous win. It says that Joshua conquered them. If you keep reading, you see that they completely destroy Amalek. Our second point is executing your position in the playbook. And when you think about execution, and I think about football, going back to that, usually in football, you have a huge playbook. You have to know all the positions. You have to know everyone's role in order to understand how the play is going to work. For example, the linemen kind of still need to know which guys they're going to have to block. The wide receiver needs to know who he has to block or what route to go. So when the quarterback goes there to maybe throw or hand it off, everybody knows what position they're in. They know what hole to run in, right? Now, I can remember as a kid, now, this was a long time ago. 7th to 8th grade, I played football. That was the last time I played, was 8th grade. I was a little bitty guy, probably weighed about 75 pounds, soaking wet. All right? You can imagine that. I'm not a big guy. My sport really was baseball, but I love sports. I love football. And so I was the third string running back. All right? And so a lot of times when you think about the third string, it's very rare that you even get an opportunity to run the football. I was the third string running back. So it was like, oh, this is awesome. I get to possibly run the ball. I never got in the game, but in practice, I got one opportunity, one. All right, one. That was it. And so in that one opportunity, though, I was ready. I'd been studying my playbook. I knew exactly where the hole was. I knew where to go. Well, here it was. They'd just been running the play. We'd been running the play probably 15, 20 times because practice makes perfect, right? You try to play. You practice until you execute, right? And so the second string, the first string runner was already out. He was out that day. He'd had an injury. So the second string was in there. So I'm actually second string in practice that day. It's kind of like, oh, I might accidentally have a chance. I was really hoping I would. And so I'll never forget, they ran the play, and all of a sudden I noticed the second string running back didn't get up. He was hobbling up. He was hurt. And they called my number and said, hey, come on out. So I came in there. I'm ready to go. But we had not run. We had not executed the play. Nobody had blocked. Nobody had, and the coaches, you know how that goes. The coaches, if you're part of it, they're always, we got to get this right. And so we're ready. I'm like, okay, this is my one shot. If I can get through the hole as fast as I can and score, I'm gonna move up the depth chart, right? So I'm ready. The play was wing right 28T. I'll never forget the play because it was the only time I got to run a play, all right? So wing right means there was a wing on the right side. 28 was I had to go through behind the tackle. And I was the running back, so I was getting it. So I knew that, and it was on go. I knew it was the cadence. So we're all set, ready to go. Quarterback says, go. I'm ready. I get the ball. The hole, I tell you what, that hole was bigger than it had ever been in my life. And I'm actually pretty fast, so I ran straight through the hole. Nobody touched me. I was like doing this celebrate. You know, I didn't do celebration at the end because it was like I didn't know what to do. It was the first time I'd done it. So it's like I look around. Nobody was there. It's great. Yes, I got it. Miraculously, though, the second string guy, he was fine and healthy after that when he saw that happen. But because of the practice and the execution, I was able to run through the hole. The team had failed several different times. I just happened to be the lucky guy at the time that didn't get chucked at the line of scrimmage like the other guy did. But for me, that was the one time I got to run through, and that was in practice. But it was so fun. I'll never forget that moment. But it was because everyone did their job. And in the church, we need everyone to do their job, to play their role, and to kind of get an idea of what everybody's role is. And so when you come into Edge Church, we have our first impression team. They greet people when they come in the door. We have our kids ministry, preschool kids. We have our student ministry. We have our parking team. We have a security team. We've had all kinds of different opportunities here at Edge Church. And so as they walk in, our first impressions team knows a little bit about our kids ministry so they can make the right handoff. Our kids ministry knows a little bit about our first impressions team, so if something happens, they can communicate. And so it's like this interwoven system that's incredibly simple, but also can be very sophisticated if not done right. If one person doesn't execute on a given weekend, a given Sunday, it could break down. It could potentially hinder someone from hearing the gospel. And that would be the tragic part of what we get to do here at our church. And so my challenge to you is, as you think about what role that you play here at Edge Church, your role is significant. It is very, very important. And don't take it lightly. Because all it takes, unfortunately, is one thing to go wrong, and there could be somebody that walks through. And we have several guests here today, and we are so grateful that you are here today. We hope that you have an incredible experience here at Edge Church, that you find this, hopefully, to be a place that you can call home. That's our heart. That's our desire. And so, hopefully, as you're hearing this message, you're sensing, man, this is a place that maybe I want to get roots to. I want to plug into. I want to be a part of this church, this team, so to speak. And so, when you think about that, we want people to have a relationship with Christ. And so everything from the parking lot all the way until the time that they come, until the time you leave, hopefully, we knock it out of the park and we give 110% in what we do. And I want to share a great story. There's times when things go wrong. There's things that happen. There's opposition that takes place in any church, in any situation. But we have to overcome that. And sometimes we have to reset. We have to maybe come up with a new game plan, a new system or a new something. And so what I want to look at is in Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a great story of building. And we at Edge Church are building something incredible. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more as well here in just a minute. But God is doing something amazing. It's even hard to put my mind around it at times. But I'm going to look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 13 through 23. And this is an incredible honor here to see what Nehemiah does. Nehemiah has gotten the vision. He's learned kind of a little history before I get into it. He's learned that his city has been destroyed. And he's gone and he was working as a cupbearer to the king. And so, in other words, he was the right-hand man. He would make sure that the king was protected. He would taste the food. A cupbearer would taste the food to make sure it wasn't poisoned before it got to the king. So you can imagine what Nehemiah's life was like. That'd be kind of scary. It's like you could taste something and you know you're going to die. But his job was to protect the king. That's pretty important. And he served it really well. You talk about somebody that served his position well. Well, one day when he learned that his city had been destroyed, he went to the king and said, "Hey, I really need to go back. My city's been destroyed. Will you give me favor?" And not only did the king give him favor, he gave him all the tools, everything that he needed to go back and rebuild. And so we're at this point where they're starting to rebuild the wall. And so that's where we're picking up. But as they're rebuilding the wall, there's some different things that come up. They have to get another game plan because there's some opposition that takes place. So this is Nehemiah chapter 4, starting with verse 13. It says this: "So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes.' When our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction, half of them with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while they built. the man who was sounded the trumpet was beside me, and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day. So neither I nor my brothers nor my servants nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes, each kept his weapon at his right hand. Now that's a lot of information to kind of grasp, but I want us to look at a few things out of that text that's really important to us as we think about how we can continue with this topic of playing our position. Everyone, if you notice, was willing to do whatever it took to finish. It didn't matter what it took. Some were blowing trumpets, some were on guard, some were building. And so when Nehemiah begins to talk to people, they've been receiving a lot of opposition outside their camp. And we look at verse 13, Nehemiah creates a plan to address the situation. Verse 13 is the new plan. And then in verse 14, he calls for the best out of his people. And that's what God wants here. He wants the best to come out of you, to see what God wants to do here at Edge Church. Third is in verse 16, then with the new plan in place, they've got now a game plan established for a victory. And then he rallies the people to support each other. The people then cooperated and knew that their role could accomplish the goal set before them with Nehemiah. Now, I say that because here at Edge Church, we have a challenging but exciting time coming up in our church. Starting August the 13th, we're going to be opening up our Kids Center. There's a part of our building that we've not even entered. We've entered maybe a while back, but we're reopening because we are growing. And God is blessing our church. And so it's exciting to know that we have the opportunity to reach more kids, families, and even students in this building. And so on August 13th, we're going to have an opportunity where we're going to open up that building. And in that building, we're going to have our kindergarten through fifth graders are going to move in there. And then also, we're going to start a new thing with our middle schoolers. And so we're going to have a middle school option for those of you as families or parents that have middle schoolers. At 9:30 in the morning, we're going to have an option for your middle schoolers to begin to build relationships. And they're going to be able to play some games, get to build relationships, but they're also going to have Bible study and grow in their relationship, with Christ. And so we're adding to those teams. We need to have people to come alongside us because as we grow as a church, we also have to add our leadership. Every single one of you in this room is a leader. Every single one of you has the potential to make a huge difference in the lives of a person. It might be a child. It might be an adult. It could be a baby. It could be a student. I don't know what it is, but God wants to use you for a specific purpose, and he's calling you to be a part of something bigger than yourself. Just like Nehemiah was rallying the troops to rebuild the wall, he said, we've got to get everybody together. You've got to kind of put away your pride and say, hey, we've got to be a team. We've got to figure out, what can I do? What is my role that can do to execute this whole playbook? How can I be a part of this? And so my question to you is, what do you need to do? What could you do to be a part of Edge Church so that we can execute all the things that God has in store for us, not only this year, not only just this next month coming up, but maybe the next year, next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, to see something amazing that God wants to do here at Edge Church that could dramatically change the culture in this area of Aurora and Centennial? Wouldn't that be amazing to see God do something miraculous that only he can do? And we can say, only God did that. But it's with the people that God uses us. And so my challenge to you is, where can you get plugged in? So here's where you come in. If you have a connection card, some of you came in. When you came in, you received the worship folder. I know we do this every week in our announcements. I want you to pull this out for a minute. And so I want you to flip it over on the back. And on the back at the very bottom, it says a couple of different things. For one, some of you may have a middle schooler. And so I want you to really challenge yourself. I want to be enrolled in the new Edge Student Middle School Experience starting Sunday, August 13th. I want my child to do that. If you want your child to be a part of that, go ahead and mark that because we're going to get some more information to you for that because we want them to be a part of this. This is going to be a great opportunity for them to not only meet other students, but to grow spiritually in an incredible way. The next part is, it says, I want to serve with. And so as we're talking about team, we have lots of different teams, and this is just a few of the teams that we have. But one of the things we have our Edge preschool and elementary kids. We would love for you to be a part of that ministry. And we're opening up the Kids Center. We're going to need more workers to help us be able to accomplish all the things that we want to do in reaching those kids. We want our ratios to be at a great ratio to where those kids can open up and have questions and dialogue and conversations. It's a great opportunity there. We have, looking down here, cleaning. I mentioned earlier, those are the unsung heroes. We have a cleaning crew that comes in each week, just volunteers, every week to clean the restrooms, to mop the floors and do things like that. We're adding to that because look at this building. It's a huge building, and we're about to add another section of that building. It's going to take a lot of people to do it. Maybe you can't serve on Sundays, but during the week you're open, you have free time. That's a great opportunity to get plugged in to the church. The parking lot. We would love to start a parking lot team where when you first come in and you park, we get people that start parking people. Could you imagine, hey, they got the orange vest on. They're here to greet you as soon as you walk in. Hey, welcome to Edge Church. We're so glad to see you. All right? And then also helps them when you walk in, that's the first person that they meet, and then they get greeted again. I mean, there's all these different steps. It'd be awesome. So if you love to be outside, you don't mind getting rained on or snowed on, hey, that's a great place to be. But it's a great opportunity because, let me tell you something, you don't know what people are bringing into the church when they come. And by you smiling and just saying hi, a lot of times all those problems and things are like, it just goes away. It's like a whole different perception that takes place in the mindset. It's a mindset for that. We also have production. Everything that takes place in this room, the lighting, the sound, we have an incredible production team. And I just want to take a minute just to recognize them, because without them, we wouldn't be able to do, the mics wouldn't work, the things like that. And sometimes when those things don't, they're always putting out fires a lot of times. You don't even know it. You don't even see it. But they do an incredible job. So if you're into media and things like that, what an opportunity for you to be a part of something incredible here at Edge Church. And like I said, we're going to be starting a middle school opportunity. That's going to be on Sundays at 9:30. We also have what's called, on Wednesday nights, we have our Surge, which is our Edge middle and high school. They come together, and we would love to have a worship team together. If you know of someone, we're looking. We're putting that together. We'd love to have a band for them. But on Wednesday night, it's a great opportunity for our students, our high school students, middle school students, to come together. They play together, do life together, and then we want them to worship together too. Construction, we're putting together construction teams. I know it's like, wow, this is a lot of different stuff. So as we're putting together the kids' building, we would love to have you come in and help do some work in the building to get it ready in the next month. First impressions, we mentioned the people that greet you at the door, when you come into the worship service, when you come from outside in here. They make the first impression. Maybe you're doing check-in with the kids. All of that falls under our first impressions. And then admin. We have all kinds of administration stuff during the week that you can help us with in the church. And when you think about that, when you think about all those different roles, that takes a lot of people. But when all those people find their purpose and find where they're gifted at and they come together, imagine what this church can be and what you can get out of it. It's not just about you, but how you can share the love of Christ with someone because of you using those gifts. Maybe you're not a part of our church and you don't know. August 13th, we have also, 13th is a big number. That's a great number to remember. August 13th, we have this student building. The student rooms are going to be opened up, the kids' rooms, but we also have Edge 101. Maybe you want to find out more about how you can become a member of Edge Church. August 13th. Be here for that. We're going to plug you in. I'll be leading that. I'd love to get you plugged in. It's a fun way to figure out and connect with others. And when you serve and join the team, you connect with others. And it's all about relationship. There's nothing greater than a relationship with someone else. But it's nothing that beats a relationship with Christ. But I want us to think about the third point here in just a second. But before I do that, I want us to think about when you are all great leaders, you wouldn't be here today for sure. And I want to just encourage you to figure out your niche. And I would love for you just to circle one of those options on the back. And one of our ministry leader team leaders will get with you this week so we can begin to connect you with our team and our church. Because we will do that this week so that you can find out more about those opportunities. Last but not least, but each player is willing to sacrifice themselves for the team. In a team, everyone has to sacrifice. A lot of times in life, we are selfish as humans. We're just selfish. We don't like to give up our own desires sometimes. But as a team, we have to give up those selfish desires. When you think about, I've been going through the football illustration, but when you think about it, I hate to bring this up, but I think about Terrell Owens. I'm sorry. But, I mean, he's a guy that he wants the ball all the time, right? But at times you were like, dude, could you have just blocked the guy once for me? You know, I watched him play. I can say, you know, you're like, but he didn't execute all the time. He wasn't willing to sacrifice himself sometimes for the team. And so there's other people you watch on a team that aren't willing to give up something for somebody else. Well, Jesus is the greatest example of someone who sacrificed everything for us. And I want us to take a special look at this because this is the example that we are to follow when it comes to being a sacrificial person and sacrificing themselves for the team, because that's what Jesus did. In Philippians 2, 1 through 4, it says this. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count our others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Paul here is showing that Jesus is the ultimate servant. And he's really urging the audience, and I'm urging you too as well, to think about how can you humble yourselves and live selflessly to remind us of what Christ did. Christ left heaven to come here to be human like us. He walked the earth, was born in a stable. I mean, you talk about the lowliest of places to be born. I don't know any of you born in a stable. I know I went. I was born in a nice hospital where they had nice things, right? They put you in a warm blanket right off the bat, right? But he came as the lowest form, but he served, and he was willing to give up his life for you and for me. He was beaten. He was put on a cross. But he was willing to do that so that you could have a relationship with him. Talk about a sacrificial person who has given up everything. He gave up his rights to come to earth. He could have easily called 10,000 angels. You've heard the song probably before, but he could have called anyone to help. But he chose to fulfill what God asked him to do. He was willing to stand and be on record on the cross, and he gave up his life for you and for me. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would challenge you to accept him today, because he has a great plan and a purpose, and he's willing to forgive you of all the things that you have ever done. Because I said before, we're all misfits. We've all messed up. I'm a sinner, but I have a Savior that has forgiven me and has allowed me to do some amazing things that without him, I don't know where I would be today. And maybe you're that person that's just been wandering and don't know exactly what God has in store for you. But by accepting Christ, you're on the first step, taking that first step to finding out your purpose and becoming a part of God's team. Because that's the greatest team that we serve and we want to be on, is his team. The church is what God has put in his place. He's established the church so that we can begin to reach other people. And so when you accept Christ, you become a part of his team, and then you join his team. You become like part of his inner circle. Every one of you are part of his inner circle. Do you realize that? When you're a part and join a church, you're kind of a part of God's inner circle in the incredible works that God wants to do. And he wants to use you for an incredible purpose. And as I think about a team, think about geese. Have any of you studied geese? As I was studying for this sermon, I was fascinated. I ran across this about geese. You think, what in the world do geese have to do with teamwork? But geese are so fascinated. As I started to study it, they fly in a V. Everybody's seen them fly in a V form? And it's fun to watch. Maybe you've seen the Mighty Ducks, you know, in the ice. That's not the same thing. But when they're flying in a V, they have a leader. There's one leader at the front. But as he gets tired, they start to rotate. The geese rotate their leadership. When they see nervous, he recognizes, I'm tired, I need to get back in line, and another one steps up in his place. Secondly, the way that they flap their wings and the way that they fly in that V shape allows them, one author said that it allows them to actually go 71% further than they would if they didn't. But they're all working together because of the aerodynamics of the way that their wings are flapping and everything at the same time. Isn't that pretty cool to think about? Third thing that you find out about geese is that if one of them gets injured, even if they're all together, if one gets injured, guess what happens? Two of them fly and stay with them. They go with them, and they stay with them until they're healed. Wow. Isn't that amazing to think about? These are animals, all right? And fourth and not least, in the back, as they're in the back, they're honking. You hear the honking noises? If you ever watch geese and you hear them honk, what they're doing is they're encouraging others. So in those four steps, we see a great picture of what God wants to see in the church, don't we? But isn't it amazing when you study what you can see that you don't think about? when people are hurt in the church, we want to be able to come alongside them, bring them meals, do something until they can get back up on their feet so they can fulfill their purpose. Hey, when we're striving to do our best or to reach other people, we've got people that are just encouragers. They're patting them on the back. They're honking. It's like they're the geese honkers. I can't honk like it or I would. But they're honking because they're encouraging. They're saying, come on, you can do it. You can do it. And when you think about Nehemiah's day, they had opposition, didn't they? They were kind of worried about that. And so I want us to look one more section of Nehemiah before we close out. And this is Nehemiah 2, 17 through 18. Because this is a great challenge to us and a great mind reminder to us of what happens when we are working together as a team and kind of the insight that he has, the vision that he has for this. So he says this, "Then I said to them, you see the trouble we're in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned? Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work." The people responded by saying what? Let us rise up and build. And then they set their minds to do the good work. One of the things I want to challenge you with, in order for us to do that, we have to connect with each other. And we have to connect with each other in our hearts. Because when we connect with each other in our hearts, we're going to be made to be able to build something great with God's blessing. And I want to challenge you, and I want you to imagine for just a minute. Imagine what that section of the building, we haven't even opened yet, what that could look like. Imagine 100 preschoolers here at Edge Church, or 150 kids here at Edge Church on a Sunday morning, or 200 students over there, 750 adults here. That's over 1,000 people. If you combine all that, that's over 1,000 people coming here to Edge Church to do a work and to be a part of something significant that only God can do. Imagine what we as a church can do in this community when we put all of our minds, our giftedness, all of that together. You know, in Nehemiah's day, they were able to rebuild this city in 52 days. Imagine what God wants to do here at Edge Church with the capable talents and gifts that each one of you has in this room. What is it that God is asking you maybe to do? What is it that you haven't stepped up to help us with? Or what is God saying? How can I be a part of something bigger than myself? I want to be a part of something so significant, it changes the world. It changes a community. And that's what Edge Church is about.